Good evening.
Good evening.
Who have I got here?
This is Carol.
Hi, Carol. You?
Carol?
Hi, Carol, how are you? This is Dave.
I'm good. I'm just going to plug my headphones in. It works better that way, I think. Is that better?
I hear you just fine.
Okay. I'm good. I don't know who else is on the call.
Lisa just joined.
Melina is on.
Lisa just joined, and Melina is here.
Yes.
Dave, this is Carol here. I'm waiting on a long-distance call, so I might disappear. Like, I'm not going to sign off, but I might not answer if you call on me at some point. I shouldn't be gone more than 5 minutes.
Okay. We'll look forward to you
getting Hey, Dave, it's Chris. How's it going?
Thanks. How are you?
Good. Been out hiking in the fall colors lately?
Not too much yet, actually. That'll be starting, I think. Looks like later on this week. A lot of things have been going on at home I had to take care of, so. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Who else has joined us?
Ellen just joined.
Hello, Ellen. Good to have you here.
Thanks. Good to be here. How are you?
Doing pretty well.
Good. Hi, Dave. It's Liz.
Hi, Liz. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, let us go ahead and get started, and we just start by asking, are there any burning questions anybody had after last week's session? Okay. One kind of general comment. I've been posting the things out there, recordings and the F files on the Dropbox account, and a couple times I've been cutting those people saying it's not there, and I'm going like, well, I know I put it there. And looks like someone has accidentally been deleting the files when they download them. So the best thing to do is just copy the file. That is the easiest way to get the file downloaded. That way it doesn't get... So to check on it, to make sure it's safe. But, the file has access to multiple people. So download your copy and then leave it there for the rest of the
Wow, I'm having a really hard time hearing you, Dave, right now. This is Ellen. Weird background.
Yeah, hello. This is
yeah,
Lisa.
Thing, yeah.
You're not coming through very clear.
Is it any
yeah,
better
that's
now?
Me too for Carol.
Is that any better?
That's better.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep, that's way better.
Way better.
I've got a new headset, and I think I'm still adapting myself to it. You know how change is.
Change is hard.
Unless you're a DJ, you're like, okay, let's change some more stuff. Right. So let's start with a review of our session three.
You're back off again.
Is it soft again?
Yeah, we can't hear you. You're sounding a bit distant.
Yeah.
How's that? Any better?
Yes, better now.
All right, keep me honest here. If I start fading out again, let me know. All right. So we said the high S is reserved and people-oriented. So the bottom right-hand quadrant of our model, they tend to be very friendly and sincere. Just want to get along with people. They are natural followers and team players. They really don't like to be the ones in charge. They don't like to lead. Now they can, but they don't have the desire for it that the D's and the I's do. They tend to mask or hide their emotions. They don't always view it that way, but we oftentimes can't tell what they're thinking because they're not very demonstrative about it. They're overly passive sometimes and can be non-action-oriented. While they play well on a team together, on their own, they may not be inclined to take action. So they also tend to avoid confrontation. And this is one of the biggest challenges with the high S, is that they'll work very hard sometimes to avoid confrontation, and in doing so, make their own lives miserable or stay in something that's very unhappy for them because they don't want to deal with a problem. And the other person may not even know there's a problem. They may not even realize it. They need accountability. When you coach the high S, you have to help them realize they need to express their emotions more, that they need to have accountability from the coach, because on their own, say, they're not inclined to take action. So as an accountability partner, you can help them keep going and get things going in the right direction, especially with coaching, where coaching is change-oriented and the S's aren't inclined to like change very much. So questions you want to ask the high S, how does that make you feel? You have to express that emotion. You have to push that question usually more than once, because you're getting a lot of, well, it feels okay. Yeah, that's not an honest and sincere answer from an S oftentimes. So be free to dig into that. What can you do about this to get them into action? And when can you do it? Again, to get that whole idea of accountability partner in there. So that's our high S. Now the high C, also reserved, but they're more task-oriented. The lower left-hand quadrant, they tend to, they're very accurate in what they do and analytical, and they focus on accuracy to the exclusion of other things. That's one of their problems. They'll be so focused on being accurate, they'll miss the big picture. They have very high attention to detail and a humongous fear of being wrong. It really is uncomfortable for the high C to be wrong. They tend to overuse details and precision. So to coach the high C, focus on some of those things. Let them know it's okay to make a mistake. The mistakes aren't the end of the world. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's just changing the rules. They'll follow the rules to a fault, and you can help them change the rules, give them new rules, so they can now begin to move themselves forward. Questions you want to ask the high C? What's a realistic outcome? Whereas the D and the I may give you too aggressive an outcome, the high C may think of anything that could possibly go wrong and push that date further and further away. You got to drag them in some to get some things done. What else do you need to know to make a decision? They tend to be very slow decision makers. They'll keep finding reasons not to make a decision. So use that question to focus them in on what they really need to know to move themselves forward. And then finally, how will this impact others? Because again, on that left-hand side of the model, they don't have a natural people orientation, and therefore they may not think about how what they're going to do could impact those around them. So questions about the S or the C? All right. We'll do our little quick quiz here. Which statement likely came from a high S? It's party time. Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. The square root of 923 is 30.3809. Or can I help you with those bags?
Can I help you with those bags?
See, isn't that awfully easy? Friendly, helpful, they want to help you get things done. They'll volunteer to pitch in. Now, let's look at the animal. Which animal is most like the high S? We'll cover here for you. A Siamese cat, an ostrich, a Tasmanian devil, or a rabbit dog?
That was harder, and I thought an ostrich, too.
And why is it the ostrich?
because change is hard, and so they want to shove their heads into the ground a little bit.
That's really good rationale, really good reasoning. Yeah, they avoid danger by hiding their head in the sand. And the high S, they do the same thing. They'll avoid confrontation or problems by hiding their head in the sand. So good. Very astute. How about the high C? Statement came from the high C. You're my best friend. We look at me. Attack or practice makes perfect.
Practice makes perfect.
And why do we choose that answer?
Because they're so detail oriented, they're into getting it all.
And they are definitely into perfection. They will notice the smallest things wrong. Yeah, I think I mentioned this last week. One challenge with a high C is that in a big scheme of things, whether it be a big book or a paper they're working on or whatever it is, they'll pick out a small error. Use that as a way to discredit the rest of the document. So, yeah, that perfectionism could be a real challenge for them. So here's the animal quiz on the high C. Which animals most like the high C? The bull, the grizzly bear, the swallow from Capistrano, or a peacock?
Peacock?
Mm-mm.
And why did we choose a peacock?
I would say because every feather has to be perfect, like they fan and shake until they get it just right.
Logic there. The peacock very focused on the way things look as opposed to the way things are, though. So peacock
mm-hmm.
may not be the best answer.
The swallow from Capistrano.
And why do we choose that one?
Well, the others seem to not fit, but the from Capistrano is interesting. It's another detail.
Another detail and a very important fact about the swallow from Capistrano is they return to Capistrano on the very same day every year. They migrate south, they return to Capistrano on the same day every year, just like clockwork, like they had calendars. So that's the answer there, swallow from Capistrano. All right, so we're going to get some stuff today that is really a little more intense, actually, in terms of how DISC operates. D, I, S, and C are, of course, the cornerstones of what DISC is all about. So if you only know that and stop right there, you really are not only not the full power of DISC, but you actually can create some more challenges than you need to by not knowing how the different styles play together what some of the things mean. So the power of DISC lies in its simplicity, but the deeper power of DISC is the strength of the styles and how the styles combine to create unique behaviors that are influenced by the different aspects of DISC. So let's go a little deeper here into our study. And let's talk about you and your dot. So if you pull out the next slide, and look at it when we have this discussion, you'll notice that you have the four basic styles there, D, I, S, and C, but now they're divided. Each one has three separate parts. So if we start with the I quadrant, it starts not with a high I itself, but with a high I secondary D, followed by the I, followed by the IS. You all see what I'm doing here, where I'm looking on the chart?
Yes.
Okay, good. So each of these styles is based into three, and you'll notice if we look at that, the IS, for example, it's still in the I quadrant. When you cross down one category, go to an SI, which is a different throw than an IS. We're going to talk about why that is between this session and our next session. So the SI can build into the S, can build into the SC. The SD melds into the CS, the pure C, and the CD. The CD molds into the DC, the D, and the DI, and we're back to the ID again. So if you look at, for example, and say, look for a pure style and say, well, someone is a high D, for example, they're going to be in that middle part of the pie, the upper left-hand quadrant. As we have some influence over from the C, they may turn into a DC style. The D is still primarily the driver, their behavior, but the C has an important role as well. We discover, though, that's different, though, than one step down with the CD, where now the C is the primary, and that D has an influence, but not the same thing. So there are people who are pure in their style. There are pure Ds, pure Is, pure Ss, and pure Cs. But they're not all that common. Most folks are a combination of at least two of the styles. The reason we use the circular model here is to show how the styles blend together. So, for example, having an ID is a fairly common thing, if you will, versus having an IC, which you'll notice is not available on this chart. Now, can the IC exist? Well, actually it can. It comes usually because of a learned behavior. If the primary is an I, usually someone has taught that person about the importance of detail early in their life. So they pick up the C characteristic, but it won't show here in terms of the dot itself. It'll show in terms of shading, which we'll talk about in a few more minutes here. So, last we talked about the fact that I'm a DC, driven by my D with my secondary C. If I was a CD, that would be very different. If I was an IS, and someone else was an SI, again, you would see a very different behavioral style between the two. So which of those 12 spots the dot falls into is important. It's not just the major quadrant, it's the combination. So are we clear so far?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's go a step further and talk about the dot and the continuum. So when you look at your dot on your personal ed workplace report, you're going to want to see where the dot falls, not only in terms of that primary, but also in terms of that secondary. Is that dot solidly in the D, or is it leaning more toward the C side? So it's a DC, or is it maybe more toward the I, where it's a DI? Two people could have a primary D, one being a DC, one being a DI, and behave very, very differently even if both primarily a D. Is that I leaning more toward the S, the IS category, or up more toward the D? Am I solidly in the S category? Or we're leaning toward toward the C side or toward the I side. That's true of the D. The C. Lean more toward the D and that task orientation, or more toward the S. So if you look at page 3 of your own workplace, you're going to see that dot and where it falls on this 12-point scale. Okay. So did I just lose? Was there a question? No? Okay. Take a look on page 17 of your workplace profile. So we're going to look here at the DC style. So I'm looking at the D first. Okay. And the goal of that D is victory, bottom line results. You guys all see that? On page
Where are you looking?
I'm on page 17 of the profile.
Uh-huh.
Where it shows the D style.
Oh.
And it shows the goal, the goals, bottom line results, and victory.
Yes.
All right. So if you're a pure D.
Can somebody go on mute?
Wait, yeah, background.
There is.
We have some background noise?
Yeah, it's gone now.
Okay. All right. So, again, the goal of that D is bottom line results. But look at the DC and their goal. DC is the top of that page. Independence, personal accomplishment. Different, of course, than it was for the plain D. And look at the DI, quick action and new opportunities. So in some ways there are similarities, but you can see there's some very big differences here as well. And those differences are really going to be important as you begin to work with people in their coaching or in group work either. You know, a lot of things we do with DISC are based toward the concept of, you know, working with others. And whether it be through one-on-one coaching, talking about your client, working with someone else around them, or even have a relationship with a spouse or friend. If you address them only as a D and they are a DI style, you'll find yourself giving them some bad guidance. So you have to know what these differences are. That's why it's so important. So let's take a second and look at page 18, and look at the high I versus the ID or the IS. So the goal of the high I, we've known that, right? Popularity, approval, and excitement. But if we go toward the ID, you've got exciting breakthroughs. And with the IS, it turns into friendship. So these differences here are really very important. We're going to get deeper into this in a few minutes. Just to start now to give you the idea of what's going to go on here and how this really is going to work, and that these differences really are important. Again, so look at page 19 and look at the S. The goal of the S is harmony and stability. But the SI, in that same category, acceptance and close relationships. SC, a calm environment, fixed objectives, and steady progress. So, again, I'm saying this point here that these things are all going to be different. It's important to understand the difference between just looking at their primary style, which is what we used to do a lot of in the old DISC, and using this combination. Now, I mentioned the old DISC, you guys never saw it, but there were three graphs, and there's a dot on the graph, and the highest dot was considered the primary style. And that's where most DISC practitioners stop, with the primary style. And what's going to make you guys different, what's going to make you more effective, going to help you with your clients more, is when you realize that they're not just a D or an S or a C or an I, but they're that combination. So I mentioned before here that, you know, I get a lot of phone calls, people who have been, you know, have brought this into the organization and have found they're having even more struggles after it's been on board. And I've gotten those calls, people who sit there and say, how does it, you know, it may work for me before my other company, why is it not working here? And when I've gone inside to look, it's almost always that focus on the primary style as opposed to the combination. So take a look a little different here. Look at the CS style, which is on page 20 of your report, and compare that with the previous page. We have the SC style. So now you've gone from one being primary to one being secondary. And on the CS style, goal is stability and reliable outcomes. But on the SC, calm environment, fixed objectives, and steady progress. Okay? So this part right here, we get to the next two sessions, is really the difference maker between people who really use this effectively and those who just know a little bit about this. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anybody confused by what I've gone through? Okay. So let's then talk about the strength of your dot. So the dot that appears on your graph, not appear bigger for some graphs than others. The dot is always the same size. But the question is, where is the dot located? Not just in terms of what quadrant that it's in, but how far up the line is it? So for example, if your dot lies in the IS quadrant, and it is very near the outside of that circle, you're going to portray some very strong IS tendencies. Your dot could still be in that circle, but be much closer to the middle of the graph, to the center, if you will, which means you're still the IS, but your tendencies won't be as strong. So the dot is important, what category it falls in, but also how strong it is. So near to the edge indicates a stronger preference for those behaviors. Near the middle indicates a moderate preference for those behaviors. And when it's near the inner part of the circle, it's a minor preference. Okay, so what do you think it means when we have a dot that falls near the center of the circle and between two different styles? Any thoughts on that?
They're very much between those two preferences.
But yet the shading would need to come into it as well, because they wouldn't be strong necessarily in either of those.
Yeah. So like a major circle, if you will, falling between two styles. You talk about weak preferences in the style, and we'll talk about the shading in our next session and how that impacts the profile, what that could mean. So for interpreting the behavioral style profile, really going to be important for us. But I say it's not as easy looking and saying, well, what category does your dot fall into? That how strong the dot is going to play a big role, as well as the shading itself is going to play a role also. All right. Right page here. Hang on 1 second. So as you look at your profile, look on page 5 of your profile, you're going to see words that grow on the outside edge of the circumplex model. And what those are doing is those are defining the priorities of each style. And what you're going to notice here is that some of these priorities are going to be shared. For example, the word act at the top crosses between the D and the I. So that's a shared priority between those two styles. Likewise, collaboration, shared between the I and the S. Stability, between the S and the C. And challenge, between the C and the D. So these are defining your priorities for you based on what you tend to do in the workplace. I'm going to pause here for just a minute. The report we're using here is called Everything Disk Workplace. There are some other reports I'll show you as we get closer to the class that relate back to the same behavioral styles, but a different focus and different priorities. We'll get to that a little later. I just want to pause and let you know those things will change. There's a report called Everything Disk Management, which views things from a management perspective. And the priorities on that one are based on what a manager is focused on. There's also one called Work of Leaders, and also one for just plain sales. And your priority is going to change based on the focus of the report. So they're more specific. You'll see those reports after we finish our next sessions, after session 5. I'll put those out there for you guys on the Dropbox account then so you can see them. And I'll just mention to you here briefly that when I start with a new client, whether it be an individual or an organization, I do tend to start with Everything Disk Workplace because it lays the groundwork for understanding disk. As we get deeper into what's going on in the organization, we oftentimes do Everything Disk Work of Leaders or Everything Disk Management. And when that happens, there's no need to retake the actual assessment. You can port the answers they gave from the workplace report into the other ones. There's consistency there between the reports. Okay? But those are the priorities. Okay, so this moves us, if you will, from basic disk to the everything disk and the 12 styles. So disk is based on the 4 styles. Everything disk is based on the 12 styles. We start with the 4, we expand it out. Yes, question?
Yes. I know in previous disk assessments they always had what they called going into the workplace was your adjusted, because they always did how you were at home, and then you'd have to adjust to your actual work environment. So if we have clients that maybe are self-employed or they don't work in a big working environment, would the everything disk still be good for them if they have more of a, I guess they're more personal preferences as opposed to their work preferences or their styles?
Yeah, they've moved away a lot from the personal aspect of it because there were, frankly, not a lot of them being used that way. But what DISC does for you, and even everything DISC Workplace does, is it gives you that common language to use. So most people have the same behavioral style, whether it be home or work. Some modify it, but most don't. And usually when they do modify it, it's a temporary change based on the need of the organization. So I've been placed in a role where I would not normally be. I need to show more of X or Y style than I had before. And it actually leads to a level of discomfort for that individual. So the short answer to your question is, yes, you can still use everything in this workplace on a personal level by using the words and the priorities of the individual. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So let's start into some detail here on moving into some of these combinations. So we're going to start back again on page 17, which looked at briefly before, and start comparing some of these differences between the different styles. So we're going to compare the D to the DC and also to the DI. So we mentioned before that the goal of the D is the bottom line results and victory. And that's how you think of a pure D. They want results. They want to win. That's what they're really focused on. But that when you go to a DC, it changes. As you move the task orientation, I should say, as you move down the task orientation scale and move into that C concept of being correct and being right, now I want more independence than I might have had before. And that's their goal, independence and personal accomplishment. These want victory, if you will, but they're very willing to share and lead. The DC will still share and lead, but they want to get known for having what they've done, what they've accomplished here. The D overuses the need to win. That results in win-lose situations. And you have to be careful of that. But when you've got a DC behavioral style, they tend to overuse is being blunt and having a sarcastic or condescending attitude. So the D is much more pure, if you will, that way in terms of how, their desire to win, but the DC gets sarcastic. And that can be unpleasant. Under pressure, the D becomes impatient and demanding, but the DC becomes overly critical. I mentioned before, talking about the Cs, that sometimes they'll take a minute aspect of something bigger and use that to discredit the whole thing. It plays in here with a secondary C with that D. They'll become very critical of things and expect not necessarily perfection, but near perfection, and be critical of things that a normal D would just look right past. So you can imagine if you're dealing with somebody and you said, what's your style? And they had an old DISC report where they were a high D and they didn't focus on the secondary. They told you they were a high D and they really were a DC. You could end up missing this considerably, especially in their dealing with interpersonal relationships. Keep in mind, when you coach somebody, one chance of coaching anybody is you're only seeing one side of the equation. You're seeing what they, you're hearing what they say and how they view interaction, and that's through their lens. So if you're trying to use their lens, you think their lens is a D and their lens is a DC, a very different perspective. Look at how the D would increase effectiveness, patience, empathy. But the DC, it's warmth and tactful communication. Go back to the idea of being overly critical and that sarcastic attitude. So you see the D and the DC are quite different. They have that primary D, But when that's secondary, it's very different. Now compare the D to the DI. Again, that D, goal, bottom line results, victory. The DI, quick action, new opportunities. The overuse of the D, again, they need to win, win-lose situations. But the DI, impatience, egotism, and manipulation. So the high, think about our high eyes. They tend to be very heavy influencers. And that D, their desire to win, can combine with that DI and make them manipulative. You got to watch for that. Under pressure, D becomes impatient and demanding, but the DI becomes aggressive, begins to overpower others. Again, especially in terms of how they talk to people, that communication that they have that they're so good at, they will overpower those who oppose them. And they increase the effectiveness of the D, but patience and empathy. But with DI, it's patience and humility. Consideration of others' ideas. So you see here a big difference between the DC and the DI and the plain old D. But imagine you had someone confused as a DC, they were actually a DI. Yeah. So the goal of the DC, independence, personal accomplishment. The DI, though, quick action and new opportunities. Overuse of the DC, bluntness, sarcasm. Overuse of the DI, impatience, manipulation. Under the pressure, the DC becomes overly critical. The DI becomes aggressive and overpowering. Increase effectiveness with DC with warmth, tactful communication. But for the DI, it's patience and humility. Because they're already tactful. They're downright glib about it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, how's that for drinking from a fire hose?
Strong. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what separates, strong practitioners of DISC, those who know what they're doing, those people who are casual about it and don't understand it, and rely simply on D-I-S-C.
Yeah, this is highly informative. It's a lot of information from this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is tons of stuff here. You can imagine, if you give someone the DISC workplace profile, you could coach them for 6 months easily just on the aspects of their behavior and being more effective in their work, in their workplace. Yeah. So I know it feels like a lot, doesn't it, to go through in, 15 minutes or so. You're going to need to study this more on your own. And I would encourage you to study it as you work with clients on it, quite frankly. As you work with clients on it more and more, it'll become apparent to you the different styles and the differences in the styles. But don't get hung up on D, I, S, and C. It's a place we start, always. We always start there because it's a good place to start. We got to go beyond that. All right, questions, comments about the D before I move on to the I combinations? Okay. Well, let's look at the I's. The eyes are on page 18 of your report. And let's compare, you know, we'll compare the I to the ID and the IS the same way, pretty much. With the goal of the I, popularity, we can do that, approval, excitement. But if they're an ID, what's their goal? Exciting breakthroughs. Not about popularity anymore, but still about excitement, not about approval, has changed. The high I judges others. The I does it by openness, social skills, and enthusiasm. If it's an ID, they judge others by the ability to think creatively and charisma. But from openness and enthusiasm to creative thinking, very, very different. The I tends to overuse optimism and praise, which we do from our first studies of the high I. But the ID tends to be impulsive and outspoken. And those things get in their way. You can see the impact of the deep behavioral style on that ID. And you've gone from being optimistic to being considered outspoken. The fear of the high I, rejection, not being heard. But if they're the high, if they're the ID, they fear a fixed environment. The way that changed. A loss of approval, a loss of attention. Not the rejection, but the loss of attention. So as you can see, the I, as we've discussed them here, very important style, but the difference between the I and the ID is pretty substantial. You can't afford to overlook it. Questions so far? There are more things here you're going to see inside the report itself that we're going to be covering in class, including reading those paragraphs on the right-hand side of each one of those. Those things are very, very telling. So I encourage you to read those things on your own and think about and notate the differences mentally, especially, on how they vary. Let's compare the high I to the IS. So that goal, the high I, popularity, approval, excitement, yeah. But if they got a secondary S, their goal is friendship. Now, we talk about the high I's and having friends. The high I's tend to have, you know, what I would, you know, I call 1,001 best friends. Because they'll talk about their best friends, and they'll tell you that they're the best friend in the whole world, about 15 different people. Because they tend not to make deep relationships if they're a pure high I. But when they have that secondary S, friendship becomes much more important to them. And the depth of friendship becomes important to them as well. How the high I's judge others, openness, social skills, enthusiasm. But if they're an IS, it's the ability to see the good in others and warmth. Very different than your pure high I. The overuses of the high I, optimism and praise, we discussed that. But if you're an IS, patience with others. And they tend to overuse the indirect approach. You know, both the I and the S tend to avoid confrontation. The high I consider themselves the peacemakers, and they will avoid confrontation, if you will, by bringing out and focusing on the best. The two parties involved in a confrontation try and avoid it. If that is a secondary S, though, they're going to do that kind of indirectly, and it very well may miss the mark. So you think of a high I tend to be rather direct that way and you know, to the point, if you will. But when that secondary S is involved, that S drags down that tendency considerably. What's the fear of the high I? It's a rejection, not being heard. Or that secondary S, their fear, they don't like pressuring others. And they don't like, they have a fear of being disliked. We talked about the fact that the goal of the I was popularity. The fear of the IS being disliked is different than not being popular. It's a whole different level in terms of I'm not popular versus they don't like me. I need to be liked. That S permeates in there. That need to be liked. And here it is.
Quick question.
Absolutely.
How is that different from the high I style of rejection of being between rejection and being disliked?
Yeah, the fear of the high I being rejected is a little, I think I would call the verbiage stronger, being rejected by something versus not versus being disliked. There is certainly some similarity there.
Okay.
Yeah. But
thank
I can,
you.
You know, we can be rejected by people or we just be disliked.
Mm-hmm.
Rejected as being as tough.
Yeah.
Think of it especially in terms of personal relationships. Being rejected by somebody versus being disliked. Rejection comes across much stronger to me.
Yeah, it does. You're right, for sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Other questions before we move on? So let's cross the scale again and go from the ID to the IS. So the ID goal, again, those exciting breakthroughs, but that IS is friendship. That's a long distance apart in terms of what the goal really is. Judges others by their ID. Again, thinking creatively, charisma, but that IS, seeing good in others and having warmth. Now, charisma and warmth aren't the same thing, right? People are charismatic, and it makes you want to like them, if you will, but when they're warm, get that feeling of being together. Reasons of the high of the ID, get impulsiveness, outspoken, but for the IS, one extreme, patience with others. So from being impulsive, being too patient. From being outspoken to an indirect approach. Very different view of somebody who's got a primary style. That's a high I. But an ID versus an IS, it's very different. The fear of the ID, fixed environments, loss of approval, IS, pressuring others. So the big difference, and again, being disliked. Being disliked. That S tendency is very strong. Okay. Deep breath, everybody. Whew. Yeah. So you can see why this is so important that we understand more than just a primary style. And you can see why you guys, as you begin to use a tool like this, understand it, to a much deeper impact on your clients than someone who's only using the basic DISC. Now, here's something I want you guys to think about. As we talk about in this class, talk about using DISC as a coaching tool and using understanding people's strengths, their fears, their overuses as a way of coaching. Think about this also in terms of organizations. If you can bring DISC beyond a single client, but bring DISC into a management team or even a team of people inside a particular department, think of the impact you can have on the way they communicate, the way they understand each other. We think the biggest challenge is of trying to get an organization to really, to not just take a DISC profile or a DISC workshop from you, but to really embrace the power of DISC. What are the biggest challenges?
I think it would be the discipline. The way that I see it with a lot of these organizations, the discipline to really want to face that beast every day to say, I know that I've been made aware that that this is where I go when I'm overusing this. What do I need to do? So I think that a lot of people just want to go as they are. And it's just that discipline and that fear of saying, I have to change. Or I not that I have to change, but that there's effort involved.
Well, that and the fact that people don't all think the way that I do, that's another big change. Natural tendency, especially for leadership organizations where you tend to congregate D's and I's together, then to believe that everyone thinks the way we do. It's not true throughout the organization. But tied into that is today's lesson of, I've learned the basics of DISC, isn't that enough? And the answer that clearly you saw today is, no, it's not enough to learn just DISC. If I say, my CFO, he's a high C, I know how to deal with him. Well, suppose he's a CS. Different way of dealing with him. Suppose he's a CD or a DC. So sometimes they get the basics of DISC, but this process is going deeper, which is where the real value is. What can cause some problems in terms of them committing to making the real changes.
Right. That's where my thoughts were going to, that it takes a kind of a deep culture within that company to have that be important, to be able to have that value of relating to people where they are and where you are and learning how to do that in the best way possible needs to be valued in the company.
Right. That starts with the executive team.
Exactly.
Yeah. And especially
CEO.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say it's funny that was brought up because I was just thinking today in my workplace, it's very metric and performance driven. And in order for me to influence and get buy-in for how DISC can really help with the result, I was thinking about tying in,
you know, having pilot groups to say, do the assessment, and then we're going to see how each of those personalities impact the driving of the performance based on the leadership getting, you know, making sure that they're reinforcing and, to your point, speaking that same language all the time, and then get the another team that doesn't do it so that you can see the performance change according to the coaching to the exact style of those individual representatives by their supervisor, as opposed to the other ones that aren't doing it, so you can see what the lift and the metrics will be if you do incorporate this language.
Yeah.
And
that's
I think
true.
For, yeah, because with companies that are very performance and metric driven, to me, and that you know better, Dave, you know, you work with all these companies, that's really with looking at those CEOs and those CFOs, that's what they want to see.
Yeah. They want to see results.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was kicking it around today saying, how can I do this to where I can say, yes, they don't think like me, and I don't think like them, but I have enough knowledge now to help me change and think like them to get movement and buy-in.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So yeah, you're on the right track there. Because, you know, that really is the core of what DISC is about. One of the challenges you're going to face is that if you're in a heavily metrics-driven organization, you likely have a lot of what behavioral style present in your group?
D's.
D or C.
D's or C's.
Yeah, lots of D's and lots of C's. Who are going to have problem valuing the opinions of others. But it's not in their normal bailiwick, is it?
It is not.
Yeah. Now, it's a good place to use DISC, especially if those people at all face customers. It's helping them see what their customer style might be, how to interact with them. It can really make things easier. Not talking about sales, but, you know, customer interaction in terms of we report information back to certain customers, that kind of thing. So part of what we try and do when we do DISC with organizations is help them do people reading as well. So we communicate a lot with Joe in another organization or another part of our organization. And Joe's been a problem for us to deal with for some while. What do we think George's style is, and how do we adapt our communication to make that communication more effective with them? See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So thus ends tonight's session. I hope you guys enjoyed this. I know we're thinking of a fire hose in terms of seeing how these are very, very different. We'll get into the S's and the C's in our session together next week. And I got to tell you, as fun as the D and the I's are, the S's and the C's are where some of the real challenges lie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Have a great week.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dave. Great question.